Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Mark chapter 3, verse 27, we see a very interesting verse of Scripture, one that you have probably read before and may or may not understand. But we're going to look at it in its context, and then we're going to see some very interesting truths that come from it. Mark chapter 3, verse 27 says, "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." Now, this verse of Scripture is in the context of an accusation that was leveled against the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees and scribes came down from Jerusalem and said about Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 3, verse 22, "He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils." And so the Lord explains to the scribes that wouldn't be possible. He asked, you know, the question in verse 23, how can Satan cast out Satan? The idea being that if his kingdom is divided, it won't stand. So Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for saying that he had Beelzebub, and he said Satan would not rise up against himself. And then when he said that, he added, "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." Now that statement is a mouthful. Just so that you understand the application here, the devil is the strong man. His house is the world. And his goods are the children of the devil and their possessions. So when Jesus returns to this earth, he will bind the devil for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit and then spoil his house. After the Lord's 1,000-year reign, then he'll burn up this heaven and earth and fashion them anew. That's 2 Peter chapter 3. So the question is, what do we learn from this understanding of the strong man's house? I mean, if the strong man is the devil, his house is the world, and his goods are the people that are in it, and the binding of the strong man is the binding of the devil in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, what do we learn by this? Well, we learn several things. First of all, we are reminded that the god of this world is the devil. Now, I know you knew that, but we want to expand the thinking there in context of this strong man's house and see what the implications are. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us that the god of this world blinds the minds of people so that they can't see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, that work is done by the devil. We also see from Job chapter 41, from Job chapter 41 and verse 34, that the devil is a king. He is king over the children of pride. Now, I realize that Job 41 is about Leviathan, but when you read all of this, that is the physical shape and the physical embodiment of the devil. You see that same person, that Leviathan, over there in Revelation chapter 12. All right, and that is a reference to the devil, and he is a king over all children of pride, so he's a king. Furthermore, as a king, he has all the power and glory of the kingdoms of this world. Now, this is very important. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. The devil has all of the power and the glory of the kingdoms of this world. Very important. When Jesus Christ is being tempted by the devil in the wilderness, Luke chapter 4, verse 5 says, "The devil taking him up into an high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." Well, now that's some mountain, because he could show him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. But notice, all the kingdoms, watch it, of the world. You see, that's the devil's domain of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now you and I know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. We know that. And we know that he raised up Pharaoh. Okay? And we know that he raised up Cyrus. And we know that he raised up Nebuchadnezzar, whom he said was his servant. But you realize that the god of this world is the devil, and there these certain kings that come up that the Lord has are ones that the Lord, who has more authority in this than the devil does, puts in there. But the devil is still the god of this world. He's running it. Okay? And the weird thing is about it, you don't know that he's running it because he is here in a mystery form. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He's here in a mystery form. He's called the mystery of iniquity. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look with me. We're right in the middle of a context here about the man of sin, but that's okay. We'll jump down to verses 6 and 7 because we're coming back to this text. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Watch it. For the mystery of iniquity, that's the devil, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So he's in a mystery form. In other words, you can't tell that when you see, you know, kings come up or prime ministers come up or presidents come up, like President Obama or Putin or Netanyahu or, you know, whoever the figures may be, Fidel Castro, whomever the figures may be. When you look at it politically, you say, well, or when Hitler was up there or when whomever it may be, you look at that and you say, okay, well, the people elected this one, or the people had an election and elected that one. Or this one took over as a dictator, or that one took over as a monarch. You know, whatever the case may be, the you look at that and you say, well, these are natural ways that men come into positions of authority. Or this one set up a coup, or this one established martial law, and that's how he got in power. But you got to understand something. These men that come into these offices are not just there as royalty. And they're not just there by the vote of the people. They're not just there by a coup or setting up a dictatorship. They are there and have power because there is somebody behind them called the mystery of iniquity. You see that? The Antichrist is now ruling in the world. First John, he said that the Antichrist rules already. That was way back there when Jesus Christ had already ascended from the earth, but shortly thereafter. So right now, the god of this world is running things. He has the power and the glory of the kingdoms of this world, but in a mystery form. Now, eventually, he'll be cast down to the earth, and when he's cast down to the earth, he will take control of the kingdoms personally. Look in Revelation chapter 12. In other words, the blinder will come off. Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, Leviathan, who is this great red dragon, who is also the serpent, who is also the devil, who is also Satan. All right, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. This Satan, which is deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's yet to come. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to because he's gone. He's no longer in the heavens. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Well, when he comes down here, it's at that point that he will be revealed. You see, back here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible said, he that now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. The idea is you couldn't see who he is. The revelation is withheld. The revelation is so that you don't know who it is. You see, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 3, the Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And then he says in verse 6, now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. So what's being withheld is his revelation. And then finally, in verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So there are kings and others who are letting, that is, preventing the revelation of the devil. Once they're taken out of the way and the devil is here himself personally, sitting in the throne of God and is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, you know what happens? Verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed. Then you'll know who it is. But the Lord will consume him with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. All right, so when the devil is finally cast down to the earth, he takes control of the kingdoms. The blinders come off. There's no more a mystery. At that point, he's going to be revealed. And when he's revealed, he's going to bring destruction against God's people. But he's going to lose in his battle against God's people when he fights against the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23, and through 25. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. There's God's people. And through his policy, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, that's Jesus Christ, but he shall be broken without hand. So he's going to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, honestly, listen, that's been the whole setup all along. The devil has been working, here in the earth, and the Lord has been working in the heavens, waiting until the time that the devil has to commit. He gets into a fight with Michael and the angels, and Michael fight against the devil and his angels and cast him out into the earth at precisely the time that God wants it. The devil personally takes control of the kingdoms down here, which is where Jesus Christ wants him, and then Jesus Christ comes down here and defeats him. And then he binds him with a chain and casts him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, Revelation chapter 20. See, this whole thing is a setup. The Lord knows it, Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. So the god of this world is the devil. He's running things behind the scenes. And when he takes over personally, Jesus Christ fights against him, beats him, and then binds him in a chain in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. That's the whole design. Now, that's the first thing we learn. The strong man, according to Mark chapter 3, verse 27, is the head of this house here, and that one of these days the Lord's going to come and he's going to bind that strong man and spoil his house. All right, here's the second thing we learn. We also learn, because Jesus Christ said this while he was here in his earthly ministry, that the Lord entered this world to defeat the devil and set up the kingdom of heaven then. In other words, when he said that, he intended to take care of business right then. But there was a condition. You see, when he came to this earth, he came as king of the Jews. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. The wise men come from the east, and they say, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Well, that set everything upside down. Herod's upset about it, and Jerusalem is upset about it, and the Jews get upset about it, and the Pharisees get upset about it, and it's a difficult thing. But you know what he tried to do while he was here? He tried to get Israel to receive the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 through 14, the Bible says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence." Boy, that's so true. Nebuchadnezzar came and took it violently away from Israel. And Cyrus and Darius came and took it away from Nebuchadnezzar, and Alexander took it away from the Medes and Persians, and the Romans took it away from Alexander. "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." And then watch it. "If ye will receive it," this is Elias, which was for to come. Elijah was prophesied to come before the coming of the Lord. And he said, if you'll receive it, that is, the kingdom of heaven, if you'll receive it, then John the Baptist stands for Elias, and we're going to set up shop. But you know what? The Jews wouldn't accept him. In John chapter 19, they are posed with a question from Pilate about who they're going to accept as their king. And they say, Pilate says to the Jews, in John chapter 19, verse 14, he says, behold your king. And you know what they said in verse 15? Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. They just rejected that kingdom out of hand. You see, but after his resurrection, his disciples understood now what was going on. And so that's why they asked him in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? Because they realize now this is why he came, among other things. But he said, no, he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. So it was all postponed. It's postponed now to his second coming. But he attempted to set it up. And to show that he had come to get rid of that, you know, to bind that strong man, to take away his power, he was casting out devils everywhere he went. You read that in Mark chapter 1, verses 23 to 26. He gave power to his disciples to cast out the devils. You say, why was he casting out all those devils? To show that he had come to take over from the strong man's house. As a matter of fact, the Bible says when he ended his ministry, he judged the devil. He judged the devil. John chapter 14, verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. And then John 16, 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He triumphed over the devil and his principalities at the cross. That's why we say that the devil is a defeated foe. He is, spiritually speaking, that's why we have spiritual warfare. He said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why? Because the Lord defeated him in the spiritual kingdom, but the devil is alive and well in the earth. Colossians chapter 2, when Jesus Christ nailed the law and so forth to his cross, the Bible says in verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Colossians 2:15. So he defeated him in the spiritual realms, for sure. Now, watch this. The God of the world is the devil, and he's still ruling. He's behind the scenes, but he's still ruling over this stuff going on with these kingdoms. Jesus entered to defeat him, but the Lord only took care of business in the spiritual realm and has left the devil in the earthly realm or the kingdom of heaven. So watch this. Since Israel rejected the kingdom, Jesus is building the kingdom of God instead. Okay? Think about what you just heard. Since Israel rejected the kingdom, Jesus is building the kingdom of God instead. All right? Watch. When we were born again, we entered the kingdom of God. That's the spiritual kingdom over which the Lord rules, rather than the earthly kingdom, which is the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus questioned him. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the spiritual kingdom. And that's the one we enter the time we get saved. So therefore, each new soul that is saved is added, first of all, or simultaneously, to the body of Christ. We are members of his flesh and of his bones. We are baptized by the Spirit into one body. And that body is described in Ephesians chapter 4. Where the Bible says that we are the whole body, from whom the whole body, Ephesians 4:16, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we're in that body. And that body happens to, you know, each soul that's added to that body is added to the building that God is building in this kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 2 calls it the household of God. We are, Ephesians 2:20, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Do you understand it? Do you see it? There is a building, but it's a spiritual building. It's called the household of God. It's the holy temple. It is the habitation of God. And it's not physical. It's spiritual. So our principal concern as Christians, listen, our principal concern as Christians is adding souls to the kingdom of God and then edifying those who are in it. We are working in a spiritual kingdom, not an earthly kingdom. And you can't lose sight of that. You see, the God of this world is the devil, and he's still controlling what's going on in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ is the king over the kingdom of God, and he is currently ruling in that. And the devil has no influence in that kingdom at all, because it's where the souls of men are. When I say no influence, he's not ruling in that kingdom. So, as we look at this thing about binding the strong man and coming into the strong man's house and spoiling his goods, remember this: the god of this world is the devil. The Lord entered this world to defeat the devil and set up the kingdom of heaven, but Israel rejected. Since Israel rejected the kingdom, Jesus is building the kingdom of God instead, which is a spiritual kingdom. Now watch. Therefore, any attempt now to build the kingdom of heaven is demonic. Listen again. Any attempt now to build the kingdom of heaven is demonic. That's because the devil is still the god of this world. When the church tries to build itself into a kingdom down here, it is working in cooperation with the devil. Go back to Mark and look at Mark chapter 4. This is very interesting. This is the part that may come as somewhat of a surprise to you. Mark chapter 4, look at verse 30. The Lord gives a parable of the kingdom of God. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches. Watch it carefully. That the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Fowls are unclean. In Mark chapter 4, the fowls eat the seed on the wayside. And the interpretation in Mark chapter 4, verse 15, is that they are Satan, who comes immediately and takes the word that was sown in their hearts. Fowls are unclean, and they should have no association with the kingdom of God. Do you understand? The church is not to cooperate with the world to try to build up more influence in the world. The church is to be separate from the world. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, the Bible says. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18 are clear. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Do you understand? The world hates God's children in the kingdom of God. You wouldn't know that, because the church has cooperated so much that you could hardly tell it today. In John chapter 15, look at verse 19. And notice the Lord gives very clear instruction. You're not of the world. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now you wouldn't know the way churches are doing things today. You wouldn't have any idea that the world hates God's children. You say, well, what about religious persecution? It's just what it is. It is religious persecution. The world doesn't want religion dictating its morals, but when we're talking about the kingdom of God, do you understand? Church has no association with the devil's work in the kingdom of heaven. And when you get the church cooperating with the world to have more influence in the kingdom of heaven, you're getting into something demonic. You know why? The devil has no rule in the kingdom of God. The only way the devil can have influence in that kingdom is to get the people in it interested in the kingdom of heaven rather than the kingdom of God. And there are many, many applications to this. And I need to be careful when I sum this up. But may I tell you something? For instance, I don't want you to abrogate your responsibility as a Christian to properly vote. But if you see the direction of this country heading off in a direction that you don't want it to go, you got to remember who behind the scenes is ultimately in charge. It's the devil. And if you try to exercise all your influence to just affect the outcome of elections rather than the outcome of the destination of souls, you've lost sight of why the Lord left you here. We're to be working in the kingdom of God. When you see Rick Warren clasping hands with Elton John in an effort to alleviate AIDS, you know what you have? You have a full cooperation of somebody who represents himself to be part of the church with somebody who is obviously part of the world. It's demonic. That's not something to be celebrated. That's something to be feared. It's something to be rejected. We concern ourselves with adding souls to the kingdom of God and edifying those who are in it. We cannot change the direction of the devil's work in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ has to do that when he binds him.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.